I've talked to Israeli geologists, Israeli archaeologists. I've spent time with them. I've examined underneath Israel. I've been in tunnels all over the place. I've seen snakes and everything else. But I can answer just about any question you've got about this thing. So if you want to interrupt and break in, well, go right ahead. I'm going to be covering this tonight and tomorrow night. I know some of you weren't here when I covered it, and I know the Negev like very few people know it. I know it as well as the archaeologists do. Of course, I haven't done I participated in one archaeological excavation. I said participated, I didn't say lead it. But I'll be glad to answer any questions you've got, and it's an amazing thing the way God structured the country. It's absolutely amazing. What's amazing about it is it's all in the Bible. And he goes into great technical detail about how this is going to do this, this is going to do this, this is going to do that. He's already structured it to do it. Only God could do that. Nobody else could. Furthermore, he put all the faults in there just exactly where they're supposed to be in the Bible. And all he has to do is speak the word and it occurs. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And so it's one reason I'm still in the faith. I got a lot of faith to every man according to his wisdom. And I wouldn't be in the faith, I suppose, I wouldn't be in the faith if I hadn't been saved by faith. But God allotted me faith, and one of the things he did was to strengthen it with what you're going to see here. Kenneth, would you pass them out on this side? You pass them out on this side, and I'll keep one here. Now, I'm going to continue this tomorrow night. This is A, B, C, D. You'll find that up at the top of the page, A, B, C, D. And E, F, G, H, I'll do, and J, K, L, M, I'll do tomorrow night, because I've got both sessions tomorrow night, and I'm feeling pretty good. I've hit my head so hard, I guess everything in there shook around, and maybe I'm okay now. So anyway, I thank God. I spent a lot of time thanking him, because if it wasn't for him, I'd be in serious trouble. Now, this is the pattern I have followed. On the last one, number D, I put this out in formal fashion with all these different designations on it in 2011. But this is what I've taught here for about, I guess I first started teaching it back in the last century. And I realized something that was very important. I realized that I could not make a determination about what happened before the king of the south attacked the king of the north. I could tell what happened from where I was then right up until the time that this first war attack occurs. In other words, I was sure in my mind that what I have on here, on this diagram, is correct. The problem with it was, when I put it out, everything depended on when the king of the south, Israel, attacked the king of the north, Greater Syria. And I knew that when that attack occurred, that before it happened, a lot of things had to occur. They're all on this chart. And I put them there a long time ago. I've taught it here for many years. Now, I left what happened before it because I did not know, I could not tell, when Israel was going to attack Greater Syria. I'm sure Israel's the king of the south. I'm positive that the Greater Syria is where the Antichrist is still going to rise. But the reason I'm doing this is because this is going to be very soon. You've got certain things setting up over there now that we've got this political confusion mess here. We've got an economic mess. You couldn't be in a greater mess. And when God said that he scattered them at the Tower of Babel, because he said he scattered them because if he didn't, then nothing would be withheld from them. And they have made great, tremendous advances. Look at what we've done. Man, look at all the modern conveniences we got. Push a button and cars that drive themselves. I mean, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? Look at what a mess we're in. Look at what all this wonderful society has given us. Just look at what a mess we're in. Well, you say, well, how did you know we were going to get in the mess? God said they would. And so he scattered them. Well, I just didn't know when the king of the south was going to attack. In other words, I didn't feel like I could put it down to a close enough time that I could even talk about it. Now, I think I got a time that I can tell you about it. And I can tell you what's going to happen up until this first war attack. So I'm going to start and tell you everything to the left of that first war attack line. Did you give an anime one?
Yes.
Did you have one with pictures on it?
No, I got pictures in it, yes.
Good. Well, that's the one you want. And she can share them with Cooney.
Because
yours has got pictures in it too, Cooney. Yeah. Now, first war attack, I tell you when I think it's likely to occur. We are headed toward a situation in the Middle East where I don't care who wins the election. We're going to have a war. And it's going to be when Israel attacks Greater Syria. King of the South attacks there. I guarantee it. I can't give you the day, the week, the month, or the year, but I can tell you this. Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis, I lived among them. I stayed over there for more than a year. I lived among the Arabs and I lived among the Jews. I spent time with them. I ate with them. I studied with them. I did all kind of stuff over there. I did it because that was part of what I was supposed to do. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to put up with this. And so I wrote two articles when I first came up here and told people, I said, I don't know when he's going to attack, but he's going to attack. And I told people, I said, it may not be till way later on, but I said, he's going to attack because they won't put up with this. And the Israeli prime ministers that over there wouldn't put up with zip. But Benjamin, not Netanyahu, he has had it with the Americans. He has had it with Obama. And when the next ones come in, they're going to have so much trouble with what's left over from Obama's administration, they're not going to have time to minister to the Middle East. You can put it down, and I'll stand up and if I'm still alive and admit it. This thing, this next war, this that you see here where it says first war attack, that's going to occur in the last years of the next administration, whoever it is. And whoever it is, they've got more trouble than they can handle. And by the time that administration ends, you're going to see Benjamin Netanyahu. He may be dead, but I'll guarantee you that you are going to see the Israelis attacked from the south. And then you can just take this chart, and I'll guarantee it. It's going to go just like this. Every detail on there fits Scripture. And I have put them together all the way from the Genesis to Revelation. But I did not put on what was going to happen before the attack because I didn't know when the attack was going to occur. But now I think I've got a pretty good idea. Could I be wrong about the attack? Well, yeah. But I'm going to tell you this time, it's going to happen. And it's either going to happen at the end of this next administration or at the beginning of the next. And so this is something that I hope you'll pay attention to because I spent an awful lot of time on this and I believe it to be correct. I'm going to deal tonight and tomorrow night with two Negev remnants, one saved before the seventh trump. Now, when I say one saved before the seventh trump, I mean it will be before the trumpet sounds. And when it sounds, they're going to be taken at the rapture just like we are. I'm going to be covering that in intricate detail. I'm going to be providing you scriptures for it. And it was something that I researched for years and years and years because I had a tremendous curiosity about this. And I prayed about it and I said, Lord, if it's all right, let me see how this thing's, how it's working out. And he has, I believe. And I wouldn't say that unless I felt very confident. I think that I have what's known as a rubbing in. But all of you have a rubbing in. It's something that happens that God rubs himself in you. And it's like salve. It's like a salve that goes inside you and it doesn't go out. It just stays in there, keeps you safe, does all sorts of things. But there's a word about that rubbing in that you can find in the Bible. I can talk to you about it. I can preach on it. Lord knows I've preached about on everything else since I've been here. And I've preached on that two or three times. Now, there are 14, there's one saved in the seven vials. One remnant comes out of the 144,000 that I'll discuss in a moment. The other is saved in the seven vials of wrath, and I'll show you the scriptures that go with it. I'll go as fast as I can tonight and finish as much as I can, but wherever I stop, I will start exactly there tomorrow night, and I will start and I will finish the thing again next week on the night we normally do the Wednesday night service. And I'm going to try to stay on prophecy, not on the morning message so much, but on the message that has to do with the Lord's coming, because we are headed for it, and I owe that to you. But I'm doing it because I know I'm supposed to do this. So bear with me on this and be patient. Now, I've got an archive diagram number 320 that I showed you when you first came in here. When it starts off with that first line, that's when Israel is going, the king of the south is going to attack the king of the north, which is known as Greater Syria. And before I'm finished, if I don't die in the next week or two, I will get ahead and I will try to show you these things just as plain as the nose on your face out of Scripture. Now, there are 14,000 Jews, born again remnant, as part of 2 million Jews. Why 2 million? The population of Israel over there is such that if you took one third of the population over there would be 2 million left. So I'm thinking this thing is so close to us, I can reasonably say born again remnant as part of 2 million Jews. And I can tell you that throughout this, if you'll consult the archive prophecy diagram number 320, and I'm going to have that on every one I pass out. Each one will be separate, but it'll start where the other one begins or where we left off on the one before. I'm real enthused about this. I'm real excited about it. The Lord has made me feel wonderful, both physically and mentally and spiritually. Lord has really been gracious to me, and this is something that I'm as excited as I was the first time I ever began to discover this stuff. And so I feel good physically, and I think it's because of your prayers. I think your prayers had a lot to do with it. Please continue to pray for me. Right now I'm sitting here and I'm feeling pretty good, and I think God's going to keep me well enough to do this. And so if he doesn't, there's a reason. Now, 144,000 will be Jews entering into the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period as born-again believers. I went over there and I tried on two different occasions, well, actually three different occasions, to see if we could start a church over there in something other than Arab neighborhoods. We have never had a Missionary Baptist church over there. A lot of people think we have, but that church was not. Ben Abugal was the head of it, but it was not a Jewish church. It was an Arab church. You say, are you sure? Yes, I'm positive. Been over there and been there and talked to them about it. They got a lot more money if they let people think that they were a Jewish church. And they just never said they were. They weren't. Everybody just assumed that they were, because they were over there and they were operating in Jerusalem. They burned down the Baptist church. The Baptist church was burned down over there years ago. And every time they've tried to rebuild it, the first Baptist, the Southern Baptist, and every time they've tried to rebuild it, they've put all kinds of blocks against them. Now, I'm going into detail on this. I've told you all this before. They've gone into great trouble, the administration has, to keep them from building one in Jerusalem. And so the Mormons decided they wanted one over there. And they said, no, you can't build in Jerusalem. So they said, well, what if we build outside the city on the Mount of Olives and we make a pledge and we sign a pledge that we won't try to convert any Jews? They signed it. And right now, underneath the place where they built it, half of it's on the fault that comes out of the northwest and goes through there, and the other half's on the other side of it. They built it right on top of it. And when that's not by accident. Now, man, that's just not by accident. So it's amazing the things that I've discovered and the things I had to do to get into some of these places. I had to bribe guards. I had to bribe archaeologist, I had to bribe everybody under the moon. But when you, if you've ever lived in Europe and you've ever gone over there and been over there like I have, you're not going to get anything if you don't bribe them. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say, the Bible says you shouldn't bribe them. I'd like to see where that is. It says, they will live among and be part of the one-third of Israel that escapes from the Antichrist Islamic coalition of 10 nations by fleeing to the Negev. One, along the Israeli coast, 70% of the Jewish population is located. I'll say that again. All the way along the Jewish coast on the Mediterranean, from Haifa down to the end of the Israeli coastal strip, over 70, well, I won't exaggerate, 70% of the Jewish population lives there. That's where they do. They're going to be driven south out of there. That's a massive concentration. They're going to be airlifted out of there. And the Antichrist isn't going to be able to do a blinking thing about it. I graduated from the military academy. And this is standard operating procedures. You have to take all the topography, all the things about it into measure, and you have to do it. And it's ducks. There are a lot of people a lot smarter than I am in military strategy. I admit that. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to be smart in military strategy to fill out the topography over there and know what's going to happen. They are a Jewish remnant within a larger Jewish remnant and will be witnesses of Christ to the much larger remnant during most of the time of both remnants in the Negev. I went over there and tried to start several times. I know at least two, and yeah, I went three times. And I finally thought I had somebody that would believe our doctrine. But what they couldn't accept was the fact that the church was local and visible, and they believed it was universal and invisible. And I couldn't use their missionary. They all believed that. And so I talked over them. I asked one of the preachers over there in that area to get them all together, and they came. This was about the first time I went over there. And I had, and they came. And I couldn't find anybody over there was anywhere close to what we believe. And I accumulated all this information over a period while I've been here at this church, and this church has been gracious to let me go everywhere I've gone. And let me tell you something. Why did God send me here? I didn't want to come here. I wanted to go to a church that paid enough I could support my family. You say, well, that's cruel. Well, that may be true, but I was hoping for that. But I had a big family. And so I came here. I didn't want enough to be rich or anything. I came here and the pay was $60 a week. And they paid me $240 a month. But I knew this is where I was supposed to be. I didn't understand it. I liked the people here. They were all characters. And I'm a character. And I liked them very much. But, you know, well, look what's happened. We're about 9. How many we got now? 10 coming? Anyway, I finally figured out why I'm here. You are the only church in the American Baptist Association who would have ever let their pastor go to over 700 missionary Baptist churches and missions and missionary Baptist churches. You're the only church in the ABA that would have done that. And guess why you did it? Because that was what God meant for you to do. And I went. And after that, the preachers would come to me and they'd say, Brother McElmurray, I sure wish I could do what you do. Young preachers. That's what I want to do when I get out of seminary. And I wanted to tell them, son, if you think this is a pleasure, going and living in other people's front rooms and going to places where you had to go down a hill to get water and then take it back up to the place where you were going to stay and a place where they had a whole closets full of gray, what do they call those, brown recluse spiders. Listen, I could tell you some wild stories, but every time I start, Terry or Imogene say, stay off that, just preach. Okay, so here I am. The Lord used them too. 144,000 or some 4 million Jews, two-thirds, will lose their lives to the armies of the Antichrist. And he hadn't risen yet, but you're going to see him in the next 4 years. You'll see him rise there. And he'll be a Jim Dandy, And he will be liked by the administrators of the big countries, and all the nations will say, this man is our man. He's the man. But anybody that's ever studied the Bible will know he ain't their man. He's the man. And if you think the Antichrist is going to be stupid, you're quite wrong. He says, armies of the Antichrist and the woman Israel, numbering approximately 2 million, one-third, will serve as a nation in the Negev for 3.5 years. At the end of that time, the second advent will occur. That's not the rapture. That's the end of the tribulation period. Now, at the second advent, the end of it, you're going to have another remnant that's down in the Negev that God will bring through the last 7 years. It's going to be a very small remnant, but he will bring them through, and I can show you scripture for it. They will come in. They will go up and possess the Abrahamic land grant, and I can prove it, absolutely. So this stuff I could prove. And when I went over there and I saw all that stuff, I said, this has to happen just like God said. Why? Because God said it. But isn't it interesting that it fits all the topography? It's more than interesting. God said it and I believed it before I ever went over there. But I didn't know how, but now I do. Will occur, and by the power of the Son of God, they will roar north, east, and west to claim the land grant God gave to Abraham in Genesis 15:18. Now, I'm going to stick to this, and I'll get back to how the Gentiles fit in all this with the time, but I'm going to stick to this, and I'm going to keep on doing it, because I could give you messages on Wednesday night, and you know, that were evangelistic, whatever, but this is something that is vitally important, because I know that what I'm teaching you here is true. Is it possible there's an error in it? It's possible. But I tell you, I just don't believe there are many errors in this thing, because God said it, I believed it, I went over there, and I found it to be true. And so he said, try me, didn't he? Well, okay, I have, and it is true. Now, the 144,000 are chosen by God to be his witnesses in the Negev. All will live safely into the Negev, after a truce with Islamic forces. If you look on that diagram on the back, I'll show you where the truce is. The Antichrist is going to rise to power. There'll be a war that'll start at the end of the next administration. And what will happen, if you look at that diagram on the back, you will see that it's what's called a hudnah. The Arabs call what we call a truce a hudnah. You'll notice, Negev, truce. Now, this is what I've taught ever since I've been over here. And then later on, there's the rapture. Now, the first 144,000 will be there for during the time period, from the time they get into the Negev wilderness until the rapture. And what do you think they're going to be doing? They're going to be born again believers. And I wanted so much I wanted it, and maybe but I wanted that. I wanted us to have a church over there where they could be down in the Negev wilderness with them and could influence what they taught them about the church. But it doesn't matter, because you're not going to have the church in the millennial reign. And so finally I said, okay, Lord, it's just what I wanted. I wanted to be over there among it. And it didn't work out that way. You say, why did you want to be over there? Glory and more glory and more glory. I'm not the same man. I'm an unprofitable servant. I know what I am. I know who I am. And Paul said that Paul said lots of things, and thank God he revealed himself by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he wrote it down by the Spirit. And thank God I found out about myself before I actually passed from this body. And I'm still finding out that I am not anything important except to God. And I realize that God loves me, and I love him because he first loved me. Now, let's go back over to where we were. Revelation 7, 2 through 4. Here we go. Now, I'm going to spend some detail on this, not as much as I can. I can talk about that first section. I can talk for a week on that, and I can give you details and fill in things that will amaze you. And it amazed me while it was filling me in. Revelation 7, 2, 4. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Well, that's what we have down here, the earth and the sea. Well, what does this tell me? Okay. You see how this has fit together. I couldn't have put this together on my own, I guarantee you. But I want you to realize that he says, don't hurt the earth and the sea. Where are we right now? We are in the fifth seal. Bloodshed is pouring out over there around the throne in heaven. The martyrs are increasing. Some of them, believe it or not, over there, our missionaries and some others, are born-again believers who really are people who can legally be called one of his churches. And it's starting right over there. When Netanyahu strikes, you talk about blood, you go talk about bloodshed, you talk about confusion, you talk about terror, it's going to be there. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'll do like a whatchamacallit over here does. Now let me ask you a question. Where's the sixth seal? And there was a great earthquake, such has not been since men. There's a great earthquake. And moon and stars disappear. I know how God put the atmosphere together. I'm absolutely positive. I mean, I don't know how he did it, but I know how it finished up after he finished it. You're not going to have that great earthquake until the sixth seal opens. And the Antichrist will already have driven them down into the Negev. And he will be starting to go down and make a try at Beersheba, which is the entrance unto the whole Negev wilderness, which is the largest section of Israel, the Negev wilderness. And then you'll have that tremendous great earthquake, and all Hades will break loose. Do you think God knows what he's doing? He certainly does. But you don't have any of that when the Antichrist is doing all this stuff. We're in the fifth seal. The sixth seal will be open just about the time he gets all of Israel driven into the Negev, and then the earthquake will occur. And cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in our foreheads, and I will hurt a number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I hope I can stay here and watch this. I wouldn't mind costing my life, but I wish I could. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Two-thirds will be cut off. That's a lot of people. Only 2 million will survive. But the third shall be left therein. Now, everybody says, well, the Antichrist is, they're going to drive Israel into Petra, down into the Petra area. That's a lie. He says within. There, he says therein. Therein where? There in Israel. Did you know that the Negev wilderness is a legitimate part of Israel? And that's where he's going to drive them. How much more proof do you want? And now all these preachers are telling people that, and it's just not true. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I guess you think that you're special. I'm not special. If I was special, God never would have shown me any of this. You've got to be like a little child and come to realize that you're just about wearing diapers, and sometimes I do, before you realize, buddy, you're not as big as you think. And I was one of those locusts when I first was called to preach that God cut down to size. I'm not even a locust anymore. I'm an ant. And God is my fortress, and God protects me. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. Now the third part, the 2 million, it's going to be a terrible time for them. in the Negev, but God's going to protect them. And they're not going to be shelled all the time and butchered, and you're not going to have a great war between the Arabs and the Israelis. They're going to be so busy trying to establish their own kingdom. And the Antichrist isn't a fool. He'll know he needs to establish his kingdom, and he will protect them. He will let us fly actual food into them, airlift, and he won't dare shoot down one of our planes. He'll be perfectly permissible to it, because we won't go in to bring them out, and as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name. You know what's going to happen just before the rapture? All that witnessing those others have done. Israel, those others in the Negev wilderness, many of them, not all of them, but many of them are going to believe. And what's going to happen? They're going to get raptured. And what time is that? I wish you could feel the chill that's going through me. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Man, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Never dreamed I could ever see anything like this in my life. Never dreamed I could understand anything like this. And I couldn't have. God hadn't used me, God hadn't taught me. I'm not a very emotional person. I'm too much of a scientist. But how I thank God that he's let me do this, because I thank him for the change he's made in me. I'm like old Ebenezer Scrooge when he woke up on Christmas morning and he danced around in that nightgown and he said, I'm not the same man anymore. I'm not the same man anymore. You know why? Because of God, I'm not the same man anymore. And Lord have mercy, if God hadn't saved me and kept me, and if he didn't maintain my security, if he didn't teach me, my life would be miserable down here. But I've got something that I know now for sure. And it's an epigenosko, not just genosko. I epigenosko. I'm sure of it. Take a look at this concerning Israel. Like a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Well, they were in his sight. Did they not cry out for the Messiah? Weren't the prophecies all about the Messiah? Weren't some people still waiting for the Messiah? Weren't the Jews waiting for the Messiah? We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. All the prophecies, that's what they did. They'd been in pain. They'd gone through the rigors. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Israel failed to do what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to change. God wanted them to show the nations around them what God's mercy was like. And instead, they became legalistic. They had nothing to do with the Gentiles. And God didn't like it. He said, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. What would have happened if they had received him as God? What would have happened if after he said, I and my Father are one, they had not stoned him, but had received him as who he was? What would have happened? Did God not promise them? It would have happened. You say, well, God knew it would not. But he offered it to them. He offered it to them. I don't believe in Calvinism at all. I believe when God foreordained things, he made it possible for everyone to have an equal chance. And he did it the only way that he thought was right. And every man has a choice. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, what about it? What did they bring forth? Wind. She looked pregnant. She acted pregnant. She was waiting for the Messiah. He came, but he wasn't God. And they wouldn't listen to him when he told them, I and my Father are one. And they took up rocks to stone him, and they never did receive him, except a small group that God accepted because they accepted him. And he knew they would accept him. But it was not something he picked them out to be saved. He knew that they would remit to his spirit. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead. Isaiah's dead body. This is a resurrection of Isaiah. Lordy mercy. That must be the one that goes into the millennial reign. You reckon? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs. He's making a picture of a resurrection rapture. All of a sudden, out of the dust, there are these little plants. And all of a sudden, a heavy dew comes on them. And a heavy dew, as much as they can bear, comes on it. And you look across, and everything as far as you can see looks like ice. Looks like crystal. I'm not exaggerating this. I've seen them. I've observed them. And when I read this, I knew that's what it was. He says, and thy dew is the dew of herbs. And what's going to happen when that occurs? And the earth shall cast out the dead. I'd say that was a resurrection. And I'd say that Isaiah was going to be among it. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers. You want to see a bunch of people in chambers? They're going to be in the chambers, that remnant that stays in the Negev. The one down in the Negev wilderness, they're going to be in their chambers. They're going to be hiding. Those people in that are up in the upper portion that are raptured out on the seventh trumpet, all of Israel is going to be surrounded. But they won't be down under the ground in their chambers. They'll just be scared to death that at any moment the Antichrist and his armies are going to attack. It's going to be a terrible time for them. And shut thy doors about thee. There's no question in my mind what this is. And there's no question in my mind that you couldn't put it any plainer. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. They've got nothing to worry about. The archangel Gabriel. Not Gabriel, but the archangel Michael. You're finally going to get do something good, Michael. The archangel Michael. He's going to protect them. He's going to watch over them. It says so in Daniel. Man, I wish you could have been with me. I wish you could have gone. I wish you could have seen this. But for some reason, it's me. And I'm telling people. And I'm hoping other people will tell what I'm telling them. I'm being as enthusiastic as I know how. And it's not put on because it's from my heart. The Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. In the Old Testament, the word for blood is dam. In the New Testament, the word for blood is hamati. Both of them can mean any of one of three things. Liquid blood, any liquid that takes on a blood red color, or any red object. You say, well, that stuff that you show us all the time looks kind of orange to me. Did you know that the word orange does not appear in the Bible? You won't find it in the New Testament or the Old Testament. Look, try it. It's not there. Why? Because the Hebrews considered orange red just as much as fire truck red. You say, well, how'd you know all that? I studied, I prayed. And I said, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me. And he took his time, but he always helped me. And no more cover her slain. That's a rapture. Look at it. It's as plain as the nose on your face. And it's there. Well, I'm telling you, you don't have long to wait to see it come to fruition. I think we've got a short time before this happens. I'd give us till the end of this next administration before Israel is attacked by the Antichrist, but you're going to see the Antichrist arise in the next 4 years in greater Syria. He's not that fellow that's head of ISIS. Revelation 12 and 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 144,000 Jews, born again remnant as part of 2 million. Consult archive update diagram number 320, which you have. Page 2 of 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. It's clearly on that diagram. The woman will number about 2 million. The 144,000 will be a believing assembly. Among the 2 million, they are believers in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and give the gospel testimony of him throughout the Negev, led by the two witnesses. Who are they? Well, I'm going to preach on the two witnesses. Some of you are coming here now that I've gone through that, line by line, point by point, verse by verse in Revelation. And I don't know who the two witnesses are, but I know one of them's a Jew. And I know one of them is maybe a Gentile. I don't know. It may be a Gentile convert. I don't know. But whoever they are, man alive, that's the greatest honor that God could ever give a person. Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's Revelation 12:5. Micah 5:2-4. And thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. I wonder who that is. How about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? I'd say that pretty well fit that. Therefore, will he give them up, and he gave them up because of what they did, until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. They crucified Christ. They rejected him completely. They tried to stone him to death on occasions. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. Hallelujah. That's going to be at the end. That's the second advent. That's after the trip. They come back. And we come back with them. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. He is the Lord. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. The Lord is his God because he is God. And Jesus Christ fulfilled all three offices of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Man, I'm anxious to see that. This is the only sign you're getting. Any other signs that start occurring on the earth, miraculous things, you better watch out, because they may not be of the Lord. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They hit him on the head repeatedly. Almost beat him to death. He finally did die. That is the man Christ Jesus did. But he's coming back. Among his many titles is the firstborn. And he's coming back for all of those who he calls his brothers and his sisters. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. Under the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And we're going to be here. They won't see us. You can't show me the angels that are in here now. Yet I know that they're in here. I know some of them belong to the Lord. Some of them may belong to the devil. I don't know. But they're in here. They watch everything that goes on. And they're very curious about it. And in these last days, perhaps we're getting so close to understanding many things that Jesus said. Perhaps they're even learning from this too. And I know they love us because they're assigned. They've been used by God. And in heaven, we'll get to talk to angels. They'll be in the same realm we are. The devil's angels won't be there. I can prove that he takes the whole bunch with him, and I can do it in the Old Testament. I can prove it. And we'll be on the surface of this earth in glorified bodies, and there'll be angels among us. There'll be no evil among us. But on the earth, on the outside, there'll still be an old realm here. And there'll still be lost people. And during that time, God's going to use us. How? Well, I'm not going to make a guess at that. I've got an idea, but I'm sure it doesn't encompass all that God plans to use us for. He says, the 144,000 Jewish remnant of the Negev that believes in Jesus as the Messianic Savior will be living in the midst of 2 million Jewish remnant that does not believe Jesus is the Son of God. The 144,000 Jewish believers will experience the rapture at the sounding of trumpet 7 along with the saved across the earth. We go up with them, the saved. Those unsaved left in the Negev after the rapture will go through the 7 vials of Revelation wrath, but they will be saved as they come to believe the testimony left behind by the 144,000. They won't be saved without believing the word. Listen to me. They won't be saved without believing the word. They won't be saved without believing the word. Because who told them? They were witnessed to in the Negev. And the seed was planted. And in that time that they're down there and they're in their chambers, they will believe the word. That's how I got saved. I believed the word. I'm telling you, this is something that is on our doorstep. And I went as fast as I could to try to put in as much detail as I could. Those unsaved Jews left in the Negev after the rapture will go through the 7 vials of the Revelation wrath, but they will be saved as they come to believe their testimony left behind by the 144,000. They will accept Jesus as their Messiah at his second event and enter into the millennial reign in bodies of flesh. How many will believe it? I don't know. But how many people came back from Babylonian captivity? Not very many. Micah 4:3. Man, this is the part that I... This is a part I really get excited about because this is when he brings them out of the Negev. Micah 4:13. Check the context of this. Read the Bible above and below it. Read Micah chapter 5. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. Arise and thresh, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people. This is when they come charging north and take back the Abraham and land grant. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord. And their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. So I'm going to continue on this. And I thank God I finished this first bit of the thing because I went as fast as I could. God gave me an exceptionally clear mind tonight. They say you always get better just before you're going to die. Well, you know, I just love to hear people.